Hi, I'm Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr. Thanks for taking time to be with us this week. Tonight I have with us Dr. Lawrence Wiltson. And tonight we're going to talk about work that Dr. Wiltson has done regarding rape and what happens to your body physically and psychologically. But I want you to stay tuned for the next coming weeks because he'll be back and we're going to talk about nutritional balancing and hair mineral analysis. So just be sure to stay tuned for the next couple of weeks. Welcome, Dr. Wiltson, and thanks for taking the time to come on with us tonight.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me on.
So before we get started with the interview about your research on rape, tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? How did you come to do what you do? Where can people find you?
Okay. Well, I've been doing nutritional balancing, which is a system of nutrition, for about 34 years. It started with my brother got cancer when I was about 17, 18, and it shifted my life, and I learned that the medical profession didn't have all the answers, and that was a shock since I grew up in a sort of a medical family, and I began researching to help my brother, and for 10 years it was a lot of confusion and a lot of experimenting on this, my own body, different diets and different methods and things that didn't work. I became vegetarian, raw food, macrobiotic, you name it. I really investigated a lot of things. And I studied with a lot of wonderful teachers, Michio Kushi for macrobiotics, and I lived at a natural hygiene spa and studied fasting and other methods. I ended up going to medical school, and but it didn't solve my own healthcare problems. My own body got burned out in medical school, just exhausted. And slowly, though, I became clearer about what was working, what was not working. And when I had my own practice, it was like a laboratory. And I had it for 16 years in Phoenix, and then I moved here to the mountains. And now I teach people a synthesis, but basically the work of Dr. Paul Eck, called Nutritional Balancing Science. It is a very sophisticated method. I have a large website with over 1,000 articles, which is www.drlwilson.com. That's drlwilson.com. I don't work with a medical license. I left my medical residency, and I decided not to go back. I found that the doctors with the licenses were having more problems than I was because they were having to answer to the licensing board when I didn't really have to deal with that problem. And so that's a very quick, very brief summary. There's more about me on the website and lots more.
Are you an MD? Do we call you doctor or not?
You can, yeah. Yeah, I have my medical degree. I actually went to Mexico for medical school. I don't recommend that. I went to MIT for my undergraduate work. I didn't want to go to an American medical school because I knew they didn't teach nutrition, especially 30 years ago. They still don't, really. But I learned some other very interesting things going to a different country. But then I took an exam to come back here and work in the United States. I just didn't take my licensing exam.
Okay.
I have my medical degree, but I work as a nutrition consultant officially.
Just so that everybody's clear, even though Dr. Wiltson is a doctor, he is not on this show to attempt to treat or diagnose you.
No,
We're both providing information for that purpose, informational purposes only. So anything that you take away from this show tonight, please make sure you take it up with your own personal physician. Okay? Mm-hmm. So thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I just want to make sure that's clear. Don't want any troubles with with any authority agencies for either one of us. So this paper that you provided, let me just say one more thing. Your books, you have some books. What are they and where can we find them?
The books are available on Amazon.com. There's a large book called Nutritional Balancing and Hair Mineral Analysis, which is a textbook. It's sort of a reference book on the science of nutritional balancing, although actually that book is really just the basics, and it's 700 pages, large format. It's 8.5 by 11, and it's just kind of stuffed. There's a lot more I would have put in there, but I wanted to keep the size down. Then there's a book on sauna therapy, which is one of the therapies we use. The work that I do is sort of a mixture of traditional naturopathy, modern nutrition, and some ancient principles like yin and yang, which is an old, you know, Taoist or Chinese method of assessing the body, which is physics, really. And so the sauna therapy is the second book. There's another book called Legal Guidelines for Unlicensed Practitioners, which is a book about how to stay out of trouble if you want to do natural healing. It's good for licensed people as well. And then there is a fourth book I have, which I don't sell too many. It's a spiritual book. It's sort of a philosophical book called The Real Self. And that has to do with some teachings that are something called the Jeshua material that is available from a place called the Shanti Cristo Foundation. And I summarize it in that little book. So those are the books. They're all available. They are also sold by Analytical Research Laboratories in Phoenix, Arizona. Analytical Research Laboratories is a hair analysis laboratory. They sell those books, but they're also on Amazon.com.
Now, you teach some classes of some sort. Tell us a little bit about what those classes are, and also, well, let's hear about them first.
Well, I don't teach classes right now. We have training for practitioners. We need practitioners. I supervise about 120 practitioners all over the world. I set up the programs for them, nutrition programs, healing programs. And we help a lot of women who've experienced rape, for example, hundreds of them. So I've gained a lot of experience. So I train practitioners. We have a basic training and we have an advanced training. Those are explained on our website. The basic training uses a couple books, and it's basically a distance learning academic training. $500. The advanced training, there's no fee, and it's for doctors or practitioners who already have a hair analysis account and who want to work with clients. And basically what I do is I assign a personal coach to those people, and it's a sort of a several levels where I'm in the background. I deal with emergencies, and I answer questions, and then my advanced students are the coaches, and they advise the new people, since I can't do it all myself. I would love to, but I can't.
Sure.
So that's basically how the training works.
So for someone who's not a medical doctor that wants to use your, how do they get qualified enough to come and do what you're doing?
If they want to work with us, if they have a license like a chiropractor, a naturopath, acupuncturist, we have those kind of people, they can open an account themselves. If they don't have a license or a background, at this time they can take our beginning training. Anyone can take the beginning training. And with that, the laboratory in Phoenix that we use, they will open an account for you at that time. And so some of our people have extensive medical training. Others who are very effective don't have medical training or even much nutritional training. But some of them are very good because most of the work is counseling. Most of it is teaching people how to live, how to eat, and how to do the procedures, the detoxification procedures, which are coffee enemas and saunas and rubbing your feet and a particular meditation, all of which are extremely important for women who've experienced rape and men, too. So a lot of it is counseling. So those are our people. As I say, I'm surprised sometimes because some of them have all this background, but sometimes that background gets in their way. They know too much. And what happens is they get all confused, and they don't make good practitioners.
Well,
because the work I do is similar but very different from the other holistic nutrition that is out there. We can talk
before
about
we get
that
into the in-depth interview. I want to tell people, my listeners know what happened to my daughter several years ago and how hard that we struggled with.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I mean they know the whole story. I did regular interviews on the radio throughout that entire process of her healing. So they all know that she was raped, and they all know that she got an addiction and a cutting problem, and that it was horrible, and that she died and came back. And I just want everybody to know, this is the program. I know this program really works, and that's one reason I wanted to bring this gentleman on the
Yes,
internet.
Okay, so, well, that's going to help us that your listeners know this, because there are certain differences with this program. It's more of a physics program than it is a medical program. In other words, the body is, you know, it's flesh and blood, but it's also physics. It's sort of like a vehicle, and it follows the laws of physics. And nutritional balancing, balancing certain ratios and mineral levels, is more like bringing an automobile up to specifications. You know what I mean? Like an engine on a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like that.
I'm sure
it's unfamiliar to the medical community. They don't think this way. It's more like engineering, like building a bridge or something.
I'm sure you have some regular way that you do interviews. Normally I ask lots of questions, but I know that you have something, so I'm just going to let you start where you want to start and go through, and I'll stop you
okay.
when I need to.
That's Although okay. I'm happy to answer questions. And are we live? Are there
yes,
questions?
Yes, we're live. We don't
okay,
take callers, though.
Okay, because I like to take questions only because the audience may have an interest that's different than mine. Do you know what I mean? They
yeah,
may have
I'll,
a particular...
I'll do that if we need to, but just get
yes.
us started.
Okay. Rape,
unless you want me to
well,
start
I sent you
off.
That article I wrote on rape, and it's about 60 or 70 pages. Rape affects the body in many, many ways. Many, many levels. And by the way, rape is very, very common. It is not reported. Maybe 5 to 10% are reported. There are a number of reasons for that. You know, the women are often told, if you tell anybody, I'll come back and kill you and your family. Or they're very ashamed and embarrassed by it. Or they're so upset by it, they almost don't know what to do. Also, the police are often not helpful. Rape is often hard to prove. It can be one person's word against another person's word. And even the counselors are not always helpful because they may not have gone through it and not exactly know what to do. And what we find is that counseling, while it's fine, it's good, it's not enough. It's not enough. And the reason it's not enough is because rape is a nutritional disaster. In many cases, it's a nutritional disaster. It can be a chiropractic disaster, meaning your back gets all twisted up. And it is a mess in other ways. It affects the brain, thinking, and other things. And that's simply more than the counseling profession is ready to handle. And you probably experienced all that with your daughter, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I'm sure you have an idea, but it was a very... We did everything. We did tapping. We did, you know,
yeah.
your protocol. We did color therapy. We did sound therapy, you know.
And
not,
that's even way outside of the mainstream.
Yeah, no one thing worked.
Right. And so, but what's really missing often is to understand how sort of deranged rape can make someone. And what's amazing is the person can look normal. And I think you said that about your daughter. You didn't even know that there had been a problem. I mean, it's not like getting in a car accident where, you know, you're all smashed up and, you know, you got bandages all over you. It just isn't like that, is it? And
now, one thing I thought you were asking me a question. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, well, anyway, these are the unique qualities of rape that are not appreciated. I don't think they're appreciated by our legislators. I don't think they're appreciated by the judges who, you know, get involved in the legal end of it. And that's that's one of the real problems, and that's one of the reasons probably why rape is punished so lightly in our society, which is a major problem. We could talk about that. I know you have a background in the law, but probably we should focus on the health effects. Now, I can tell you...
Let me just ask this one thing. One of the things that I found extremely fascinating in this article that you wrote was about the body fluids, how rape affects your body fluids. Nobody mentioned that. Nobody. And then the other thing was the thing about the orgasms. I thought that was really something that should be brought attention to, because it really probably is an important thing.
It is. I was about to mention the body fluid, that that when someone is raped, they lose sexual fluids. And that may not seem important, but it is. It is very important. Those fluids are, you know, if you read the old Oriental books, that those are considered your sacred fluids, and you don't want to lose those. You don't want to lose them. Not only that, but the woman gets a lot of the man's fluid, and the fluids contain toxic metals, and the woman loses her vital fluids, which contain zinc and selenium and B vitamins and many other things. And that alone has a very unusual effect, but it's a depleting nutritional effect. It's depleting. And it takes months or longer to replenish those fluids. They are not easy to replenish, and you must eat meat. A lot of times when a woman is raped, she's told not to eat red meat and things like this. And so it takes a lot of nutrition out of a person. Now, there's other reasons. For example, any kind of trauma depletes you nutritionally. Zinc is depleted within minutes. They know this at burn units, for example, that any kind of pain or trauma is extremely depleting of certain nutrients in the body. The body goes into fight or flight, sympathetic nervous system activity, and certain nutrients, calcium, magnesium, and zinc in particular, are dumped off immediately along with certain vitamins. And certainly the diets do not provide enough. The diets don't provide enough, and just loading a person up with pills, that's not enough either. The reason that's not enough is because vitamins and minerals antagonize each other. And here we're getting into more technical information about nutritional balancing science, which has to do with antagonists and synergists and the mineral system of the body and things like that. But that's why when the body gets depleted nutritionally by rape, it is not that easy to get back. And indeed, most women never get back. They'll tell you that. They'll say, I've never been the same. And they don't mean just psychologically, which is another problem, you know, the fear and the anger and all that. But I'm talking nutritionally. And so loss of sexual fluids and then picking up fluids from another person deranges the nutrition very badly. Very badly. We see that on hair tests sometimes, but it's not the kind of thing that you can see on blood tests as a rule.
So, when this happens to people, they get, I would imagine, infiltrated with viruses and toxins and.
Well, that's another problem. All the diseases.
Yes. Well, how do they start getting rid of those things? Is there a place to start?
Yes. There are a number of things. If you can catch it acutely, that means if it just happened yesterday or the day before, just, you know, very recently, tainting a woman's vagina with garlic juice is helpful. It stings, and you have to make it fresh. You get a garlic press, and you get maybe like a Good Humor stick or a tongue depressor, and you cover it with cotton, and hold it on with a rubber band, so you make this giant sort of a swab, almost like a paintbrush, and you dip it in, you could use actually a small paintbrush, and you dip it in that garlic juice and you paint the area. I don't like using medical drugs because they are toxic. They will kill certain infections, but they can make you worse in other ways. You know, it's a lot of antibiotics, for example. Mm-hmm. And they won't touch the viral diseases, the herpes and HPV and certain of the other sexually transmitted diseases. Now, you have to eat well also because the bodies are generally a mess. And this goes to another topic, which, you know, I don't mention it in the rape article, but most women and most men today, especially the younger ones, are in terrible shape nutritionally. They're in bad shape. The food is not that good. The diets are not that good. They've got stress, toxic metals in the environment, air, food, and water. They've got EMF stress, you know, electronic stress, and it's getting much worse with all the cell phones and the computers and the cell phone towers. You know, the bodies are not in good shape today. I don't care what anyone says, and it doesn't matter how gorgeous these people look. We find the older people are in better shape. There was less genetically modified food, less junk food, you know, 50 years ago. And so it's important to improve the general health, and then painting the vagina with garlic, or a man, if it happens to some, you know, can paint the penis and everything with it, the whole area. And then peroxide baths, peroxide and ozone baths, twice or three times a week only. And there are instructions. All this is on my website, in the rape article and the healing rape article, and there are instructions for all this. But basically, a couple of cups of 35% peroxide in a bath. You just have to cover your legs, and you put as much in there as you can handle. I can handle about 3 to 4 cups.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it's strong. Does it hurt?
If you put too much, it'll sting. And interestingly enough, it doesn't necessarily sting the genital area. It may just sting your legs. But it you know, you have to be careful. But it's and you have to be careful of 35% peroxide. It's, you know, it's corrosive stuff. And you do that 2 or 3 times a week for a couple of weeks. If you get those diseases early, that's better. Otherwise, they sort of start to spread and move up, you know, move through the body, and they can move into your brain. And this is why people get, you know, certain other problems. However, nutritional balancing is very good to take care of those diseases, even if they've been there for a number of years. We have women who were raped 20 years ago and 30 years ago, and they can still make progress on those diseases. The idea, by the way, the whole idea of sexual transmitted diseases is so downplayed in our society. It's such a lie, I can't believe it. It is downplayed. I don't understand it. They're serious diseases. They're all over the place. I saw a television program that said that 1/4 of the women age 25 have these things. We live in a society that's kind of permissive sexually. You can pick them up from hot tubs, by the way, and swimming pools. It's not just sex, although that's probably the main way. And they're not easy to cure, you know. Medical methods just don't work. Go ahead.
About ozone.
Yeah.
Do you know Paul Esch by any chance?
Paul Esch? No, I don't know that name.
He builds lots of machines that a lot of folks use, but he built me an ozone machine, and it takes ozone directly out of the air and makes a medical grade ozone with it. Except there's such controversy about how to use it.
Oh, not really.
Tell me.
Help me
feel safe to do this.
All right. Well, first of all, if you have a little ozone machine, if you want the cheapest kind. They make them for hot tubs, and they cost about $100 to $150, and they just have a tube. And
yeah,
if you get in the bath, what was that?
Mine has a tube, yeah.
Yes. Well, one way
or
you do that
out
is
out in the air, either one.
When ozone is quite safe. I know the state of California won't let you buy an ozone machine. They say it's an air pollutant, it's going to ruin your lungs. You know what? That's a lot of nonsense. What I find is if you have a chronic lung infection, which most people do, then if you start breathing ozone, a little bit of ozone, I'm talking about just one of these air purifiers or ozone generators, what will happen is you'll start to cough and it'll irritate you because it's actually starting to heal you. And there are people that really have trouble because of that. I had that problem. I grew up with asthma, and so the ozone would irritate me. But when I finally healed my lungs, now I run an ozone machine No problem. No problem.
Well,
to do, first of all, for a rape, what you do is you get in the bathtub and you put your peroxide in there, and then you run your ozone tube right into the vagina. And if you want to do it even fancier, you get a little bubbler. And a bubbler you buy at a fish tank store. Because you know how a bubbler is just a rock, and it distributes the ozone. It doesn't really matter too much, but if you want to get fancy, they have a little bubbler, it's called. And you put it on the end of the tube, and you put that in the vagina. And basically, you get quite a concentration of ozone in there. And that's one way to use it. That's very simple. And I've never had a report of any problems at all.
If it's a man, you'd have
to put it next to their penis or something.
One of the things that I've read when I'm researching in this is that some people oxidize more ozone more than other people. How do you know if it's safe regarding oxidation issues?
We don't have any problem with ozone. As I say, okay, there's a lot of discouragement out there about it, and this is going to sound horrible, but my experience is there are forces that do not want our people to get well. They do not want people healthy, because if you're healthy, you won't buy their drugs.
Certainly.
And you won't go into their hospitals. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I totally agree.
Warnings and the horror stories, we recommend coffee enemas. They're wonderful. But boy, you read on the internet, you know, it's going to kill you. Right? And so there's a lot of that kind of stuff out there, and I discourage people. I tell people you have to be very careful what you read. But ozone in the... I've never had a problem. You simply put an ozone tube. You can put an ozone tube in your drinking water, and you can ozonate your drinking water. No problem there. You can put it in the vagina if you experience rape, and it will help a lot to kill off all these infections. It will also ozonate the body, will oxygenate the body better. Another way that it's done is rectally, rectal ozone. Slightly irritating, but no problem. We do it. You can do it after a coffee enema, and you simply insert a tube, can be an enema tube, and then you connect it to your ozone machine. And you
only have to do it
for 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
Will it kill off the gut flora?
No.
Okay. I thought it would. Good. That makes me happy. That's not one reason.
No, not that I know of. You know, the colon, the gut flora in the colon comes, a lot of it comes from your small intestine. So even if it does kill off some of it, there's new fecal matter, you know, coming down the pipe all the time. And we don't have that problem with coffee enemas. I hear that all the time. Coffee enemas, they're going to wreck your flora. Well, not really. First of all, it's only 2 cups of water. Your colon will hold a gallon of water, probably. And so you're not even getting it halfway around your colon.
How often do you recommend doing coffee enemas?
Every day.
How frequently?
Every day. Max Gerson, you probably know that name.
Yeah.
He had people doing 6 coffee enemas a day, every 4 hours. And in his book, he did it for cancer. He was quite a remarkable man, worked in New York City. And he has a story in there of a woman who missed a coffee enema because a nurse forgot to wake the lady up for her 2 a.m. enema. And in the morning, she was dead of toxicity because the coffee enemas were removing so many toxins so quickly. That's how powerful the coffee enemas are, how wonderful they are to remove toxins very quickly. What we find is that to get over any trauma... And remember, rape can be the straw that breaks the camel's back. In other words, the young people are not in good shape to begin with, even if they look good. And then the rape just pushes them over the edge nutritionally and structurally with the chiropractic problems. A lot of times the chiropractors won't even try to fix it. They say it's no good. It's too difficult, and they're afraid to work too much on some of these people. But the coffee enema is one of the best ways to remove toxins from the liver and the colon. Those are the main organs.
Okay. So I'll get off here on medical stuff because I absolutely love it. But, so I don't want to do that because you're coming back in a couple of weeks to do that. So I want to get us back over on rape.
Okay.
Some of the things that we've not talked about.
Well, these are things that do affect rape. You know, the ozone and peroxide baths, the coffee enemas. Another amazing therapy for the rape is the red light sauna. It's a sauna made out of red heat lamps. And if you don't want to buy a whole sauna or make one, you can buy one for about $600. There's a list of the people on my website who sell them. But you can just use a red heat lamp from Home Depot. Costs about $10. And you have to get a socket that will hold a 250-watt reddish heat lamp. But that energy is very healing. It's near-infrared, mostly.
Did you happen to read, have you ever heard of Gerald Pollack?
Gerald Pollack. No, I don't know that name.
It's a scientist there in Arizona. I think he's a physicist. And he wrote two books, The Fourth Phase of Water and another one called Cells, Gels, and the Engines of Life. And the whole book's basically about what happens to this water in cells when you use infrared lights.
Oh,
and just to make a simple synopsis of it, he says when you use these infrared lights on your body and you have viruses and toxins and things like that, something about the wavelength in these lights opens up the cells, you can see it on YouTube if you Google Gerald Pollack. The viruses and toxins literally come out of the cells and go out and excrete through your excretory organs. It's really an amazing thing. You should look that up since you like.
Okay. Yes, I would like to add that to the sauna.
It's really amazing, and he's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
So sorry.
There are a lot of effects. It dramatically improves your circulation. Heating the body a couple degrees helps the immune system drastically. You can read that in medical books. The effects go on and on, actually, of the red light. It moves energy downward. There's something about moving energy, and this is very important for rape. Rape moves energy upward in the body. We have that in our slang in English. You call it being knocked up or jammed up or mixed up or screwed up, right? We use those words. Yeah, there's a reason, because energetically, energy actually is moving upward, and people can feel this when they get a shock or a trauma. And the nutritional balancing system moves the energy back down, and that's very, very important for healing. Without it, a person will not heal. They may get a certain amount, but they will not fully heal. And so, actually, and we're getting into some rather technical stuff, but the diet that we use, which is mostly cooked vegetables, not raw food, and not sweets like fruit, and the supplements we use and the procedures all help move energy downward. And for people who've gone through rape, this is very, very important. It's subtle. I'm sure a lot of them don't feel it, but some of them do feel it. At least they report it to us, that they feel that their energy was knocked up, you know what I mean? Moved upward.
Mm-hmm. So why cooked and not raw? My listeners are going to want to know that.
Well, there's a number of reasons, and there's an article on my website called, Raw Food. I know all about it. I used to preach it. I used to give 3 lectures a week on the benefits of raw food for the natural hygiene people and some of the mucusless diet and other people where I worked. Basically, first of all, we're not cows. We cannot absorb the minerals very well from raw food. Cows have 4 stomachs, plus they throw up their food and chew it again. And animals that live on raw grasses and things, they generally chew a lot. We do not. We don't have that ability. We don't have the enzymes to break down the tough vegetable fibers. So a lot of the minerals just go right through you. Now, it's true, the salads are great fiber, but we need minerals. Today, all the bodies are mineral-starved. They're mineral-starved, all of them, all of them. And we know this because when we start putting the minerals back, we use kelp and we use sea salt, and we use cooked vegetables in large quantities, people start getting well. They don't even have to do a formal program. you know, with a hair analysis and an individualized program. The minerals are low in the soil because of the hybrid agriculture, where they grow about 10 times as much crop on the same piece of land. That's called the Green Revolution, started about 100 years ago, uses the superphosphate fertilizers, it uses the pesticides, but even the organic food, they use the superphosphates to get good yields. And they don't put the minerals back on the soil. It's very difficult to do that. They'd have to collect all the manure, all the human excrement, you know, plus the fish heads and other stuff. It's very expensive to do that. And so the food is lower in minerals today. And then, you know, they're using refined salt, where they've taken the minerals out of the salt, the table salt.
What kind do you like?
Sea salt.
Which one?
Natural sea salt. Often the cheap ones are fine. The one I recommend right now is called Real Salt. Do you know that one in the health food store?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Real Salt. But they're all pretty good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good ones out there. And you don't have to have the fanciest ones. You don't have to pay a lot.
So let's say someone got raped and they come, they're getting raped. There are a few things that you recommend for rape self-defense. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Okay. That's a more... during a rape, it's very hard to make specific recommendations because you have to evaluate your situation. In other words, for example, you could resist. I mean, there's some rapes where you can't resist. What if three people grab you? You know what I mean? Especially a short, you know, lightweight young woman, and she's grabbed by three guys who are over 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. There's not much she can do in that regard. There are other situations where, you know, anything from if you know self-defense, if you want to try kicking someone. And when you say they're being raped, it really depends, you know, is the person just being grabbed or is someone putting a drug in their drink or are they naked and, you know, underneath the person?
About what you talked about the orgasms. When I read that,
okay.
I don't know what happened with my daughter because, quite frankly, I didn't want to know.
Uh-huh.
I let her deal with the therapist.
Okay.
One of the
problems with rape, if you want to call it that, is that pain is mixed with pleasure. In other words, when a woman is raped, what happens is she starts to have orgasms quite easily in most cases, and often the rapist knows how to, you know, induce them very quickly, and she can lose control of her body very easily. Very easily. And this happens with boyfriends. This can happen with a husband and a wife. In other words, it's not just, you know, rape by a stranger. Many rapes are domestic violence-related kind of things. Anyway, the woman starts to orgasm. She can lose control of her body very easily when it goes for a little while. Most women can handle 10 or 12 orgasms easily. But after that, especially if the man is doing it roughly and, you know, knows what he's doing, and many of them are what I call professional rapes. This is something else that is not talked about, that many rapes, they're not just, you know, a bunch of wild teenagers, you know, or drunk, somebody who got drunk. No, these are professionals. These are professionals. And I don't know if you want to talk about why there are professional rapists out there and they're not, you know, behind bars.
I want to talk about what helps the women get through.
Okay. Well, anyway, so there are a couple effects of this. One, the woman loses control of her body. You know what I mean? The other thing that happens is it mixes pain with pleasure, and it's very, very mentally and emotionally confusing. Forever. Do you know what I mean? It's just very, very confusing. To have this happen. If it were pure pain, it would be easier. Like, say, getting in a car accident and just getting smashed up. But it's not like that. Rape is not like that. I don't think it's very well understood. And again, most women don't want to talk about it. It's too... they may not understand it, or it's embarrassing. Or they may have been told never tell anybody. But anyway, there are some ways, there are some tricks for women to reduce orgasms. If a man really knows what he's doing and he gets going, it's hard. But I'll give you one, for example. It's in the article. And that is, there are a number of ways. If sometimes a woman can relax and can focus on other things. That's one way to do it. There's something which will help move the energy better. It won't necessarily reduce orgasm, but it might. And that is if she can visualize the man's penis going into her back, not her front, the back of her body, you know, toward her spine and not toward the front. Because if you move energy up the back, you're moving it in the correct direction. If you move it up the front of the body, you're moving it in the wrong direction. And a woman can do this. Now, usually she'd have to practice. It's not a bad idea to practice doing this before you have some kind of an incident. There's another practice that women can do, but it definitely requires practice, which is to strengthen certain muscles in the vaginal area. And it, I'll tell you what it does. It makes the vagina tighter. And if you do that, the man has more orgasms. And most men can only handle, you know, 3 or 4 orgasms and they're done. I don't know. I guess it's okay to talk about this on the radio. Yeah. It's not.
If it helps the women get through it, I'm okay.
All right. Well, that's
it.
That's one thing a woman can do. She can learn how to make the vagina tighter with muscles. There are muscles down there, but most women don't exercise them. You almost have to have like a plastic penis, and you have to practice gripping it, almost like pretend your vagina is, you know, a fist or your hand or your mouth or something. You grip it and you grasp it, and it will cause the man to have orgasms much quicker. And then the guy's done. You follow?
Oh yeah, so that he'll be done with you.
He's
and you
done.
Can get away.
He can't go any longer, and that could save a woman's life.
Absolutely.
See what I mean? Anything that would shorten a rape is going to save a woman's life. Now, it won't help if it's a gang rape and there's 3 or 4 guys and they can take turns maybe, but, you know, that's even worse. But it will work if it's just one-on-one. You know, there's all kinds of things. There are women who pray and who do other things. And sometimes they can shorten a rape. Screaming, of course, sometimes works. On the other hand, you have to be careful because some guys, if you scream, they'll smack you, and they can break your neck. You know what I mean? But in other words, it's hard to make hard and fast rules. But there are things a woman can do. Those two things that I mentioned certainly.
We have about 10 minutes. I want to give you this
minimize,
10 minutes to say
minimize orgasms.
Whatever you think is most important.
I think a big area is rape prevention. There's a big part of that article is on rape prevention. Women have to be more careful. I'm sorry. You know, the idea of dressing like a slut, which all the teenage girls do, at least the ones I walk down the street, especially if you live in a warm city, you know, a warm area, but even some of the cold areas. And they go to parties unaccompanied. They get drunk or they drink. They think they can do drugs like boys. They go out on dates, and they don't evaluate their dates very carefully. Date rape is probably number one. You want to get raped? Go on a date. You know what I mean? We need a lot of the old-fashioned rules where dad went along on the dates or mom went along. I know that sounds horribly old-fashioned. Women need to research their dates. College is terrible, absolutely horrible today, and especially if they're, you know, sharing dorm floors. But college has become a cesspool. High school is often a cesspool. I tell people I think it's much better to educate your child at home. You care about your daughter, educate her at home. Today, the online schools are so sophisticated, it's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And they can go to Harvard University, Stanford University, online. It's wonderful. You don't have to compromise anything, and the parents do not have to know, you know, calculus and algebra and all that stuff. But you have to, women have to be more careful. And I think it's always been this way, and I think there are forces in society that have told women, you know, the part of the women's liberation is you can do anything the guys can do. I think that's a big, fat lie. And I think any woman who gets raped would agree with that. That's a big, fat lie. And the women have to be a lot more careful. My website article makes it sound probably draconian. I think the online stuff is better that way. The women, you know, the teenage girls are at home instead of being roaming around. And some of them stay out all night, or they're out till 3 in the morning. And
I have one thing I have to say here.
Go ahead.
To protect, you know, the self-esteem, because a woman gets raped,
yes,
it's not necessarily her fault.
No. We're not blaming the victim here, but we are trying to prevent problems. We're trying to prevent. No, it's never, you know, rape is never okay. But you don't, just like you don't, you know, leave the doors to your house wide open, you don't take chances. And parents need to know this. Parents need to know this.
Of course.
Yeah.
And do boys, has that ever happened to boys?
Yes, boys need a much better education. You keep your hands off the girls. But boys also get in trouble. Boys go to parties. Boys can get raped, beaten, penis whipped. There are professionals that do that. There are foreign agents from foreign governments. ISIS and all these groups, they rape. I don't know if you know that. It isn't talked about in the news. It needs to be talked about in the news. They love raping. We have people in Europe, they tell me rape's everywhere. It's a way to degrade a society. It is a way to degrade a society quickly, silently, and nobody knows what's going on. I know that may be a scary way to leave it. People need to know the truth.
Excuse me. I have allergies.
People need to. You know, there are a lot of Arabic women who are coming forth now, and they're talking about these things. It's wonderful. It's on television.
It is. But I also have to say here, we have a large population of caregivers who do the very, I have a very open show format here, so I don't want anybody to think I'm doing some kind of racial profiling here, because I'm not.
No.
Our caregivers
do a wonderful job, but people need to know that things are not.
I mean, our caregivers are molesting our children, too.
Yeah.
You know, our parents, our grandparents, I mean, it's happening in our own homes, under our own nose, and we don't even know it.
Yes, you have to be careful with your children. You really have to be more careful.
I just want to make that clear to my listening audience that I'm not racial profiling.
No.
So the book, if you have a child or a loved one who's been touched inappropriately in whatever matter, because rape doesn't necessarily have to be violent. Am I right, Dr. Wilson?
That's right. There's all degrees of it.
It's
molestation,
being touched
against
your will,
domestic violence. There's a lot of, you know,
it's being
incest.
Touched inappropriately. So
yes.
If you have somebody who has had that happen, or if you yourself have had to have that happen, I've read this article by Dr. Wilson, and it's a very, very helpful document to have a place to start when it happens. To, you know, because when it happens, I know that it's very traumatic. At least it was in my family when it happened to my daughter. It's traumatic. Give us a place to start and things to do to help protect and heal from what happened. So is this available online, Dr. Wilson?
Yes, the article is one of the articles. There's about 1,000 of them. But the two articles, Rape and Healing Rape, are right up there. Anybody can read it, download it. You don't have to register or pay anything, none of that. It's up there, drlwilson.com. And you can get on a program. Counseling is always good. You know, in other words, all the other, the standard methods are fine. This is a nutritional program and a health program, a general health program, a detoxification program, but it's an integrated program. It's not just a little of this and a little of that, and it's an individualized program.
It's a wonderful, and it's
powerful.
And I know that it helps because, whew, I put my daughter in, oh gosh, 4 or 5 hospitals and nothing worked.
Yeah. No, because they weren't going deep enough. They weren't going deep enough.
It's a wonderful program, and I thank you for taking in all the time and doing everything that you've done because it saved my daughter's life.
Yeah, we work with many women who've been raped. They don't have to talk about it either. It's an energetic program, so there's no talking therapy. If they want to mention some, that's fine, but it's all about fixing the body. And then
tell us again, let's see, when are you coming back on my show to talk about the nutrition?
It's October.
On October the 19th.
Yeah.
So I just want everybody to be sure to tune back in on that day because we're going to, he sent a copy of this book, and we're going to go through this book as best we can in an hour. We may have to get him to come back and do a couple of shows because it's really a phenomenal book. So thank you, Dr. Wiltson. I'm grateful to have you, and I'm grateful that for what you've done for people like my daughter all around the world. And I look forward to having you back in October.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's my pleasure. And hopefully we can help many people.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Good night.
Thank you. You too.